This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Before we begin today's message, just this word. There's only one place in the New Testament that I know of where Jesus makes a reference to current events. It's in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where he references two tragedies that would have been well known to the people of Jerusalem and of Israel. And that's where Jesus uses that as a stepping stone to talk about the word repentance. Let's begin the message today and all this week on Cross Hope. Years ago, I used to ride in a patrol car with my brother-in-law, Don, who was a sergeant with the Cincinnati Police Department. About once every month or two, I would ride with him for half a shift in Cincinnati. And it was a interesting, eye-opening experience, to say the least. I saw things that I would have never seen any other way, and in terms of crimes that are committed in the city, that kind of thing. But the most interesting event that happened, honestly and truly, was this. He received a call to meet a detective at a place of business near downtown Cincinnati, just outside of downtown Cincinnati, where they had a cash box at the business, and one of the employees, somebody had been stealing money out of the cash box. And it was a pivotal point because that day money was missing, but the owner told my brother-in-law and the detective on the side, he said, the reason I called you guys here today is I sprayed the contents of the cash box with fluorescein, I think was the term he used. It was a chemical that you couldn't see under normal lighting. But if you put a black light over a person's hands or whatever, you could see it plain as day. It showed up green, like luminous green. So he told my brother-in-law and the detective, I did that. And the detective said, well, I've got a black light in my car. So he went and got it. And Don, my brother-in-law, said, folks, your boss said that somebody here has been stealing money. If you want to admit it now, now would be a good time to come forward and just admit it. And we'll just deal with this quietly. Nobody moved. And then he said, well, I'm telling you, you better come forward because we have a way we're going to find out in just a couple of minutes. Nobody said a word. The detective brought in the black light, and it was just plain as day. There was a man whose hands were green. His pockets were green where he had his hands on his pockets. His chin was green because he rubbed his chin, and he was caught. There was no denying it. There was no way he could say, I didn't do it. I've been framed. It's not my fault. Whatever thing, excuse you want to make. It was perfectly evident to all, including himself. You're guilty. According to the Word of God, the eye of the Lord goes to and fro all over the earth to see what we do. And there is a truth detective out there that's far more active than that detective and that police officer. And it's the Lord God Almighty, where the Bible says we'll give an account for everything we've done in this body. We need forgiveness. And part of receiving forgiveness is a word I'm going to talk about today, I think in a powerful way, the word repentance, from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, where Jesus two times says something, and I've come to believe this, when Jesus repeats something, pay attention. If Jesus says something once, we should pay attention, but when he says it 10 seconds later, again, pay attention. And where Jesus says twice in this passage, unless you repent, you too will perish. He's talking about spiritual death. Unless you and I repent.
We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. The people were murdered during a worship service, if that's what you need to know. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. For those 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. Second time. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went up to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Cut it down." One of my favorite preachers from years ago was a black minister from Brooklyn, New York, by the name of Gardner Taylor. Gardner Taylor did a seminar for ministers. I attended it, and I still remember to this day what he said. One of the young preachers raised his hand and said, "Sir, how many points should a sermon have?" You know what his answer was? "At least one." At least one. It was a great answer. You ought to have at least one point in your sermon. I'm going to have two today. I'm going to give it to you at the beginning so you can write it down or write it down in your heart. And it's this. I'm going to talk about the utter importance of the word repentance in your life. The importance of the word repentance. And then the second point is, you and I have a limited window to repent. There's a start date and a finish date called our life, and so there's a limited window for repentance. So when you go home today and somebody says, "What did you hear today?" Two things. The absolute importance of repentance and that I have a limited time frame to repent in my life. It's called my life. That's what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about the first event in this passage. It's the only time I know of in Scripture, in the New Testament, where Jesus references current events. If you know of another place where Jesus did that, tell me, because I've been saying this for years wrongly. But Jesus refers to two events that everybody in the town knew about. They were tragic events where people from Galilee were worshiping and were murdered in the act of worship by Roman soldiers, perhaps. And people knew about it all over Israel. The second horrible event was where a tower in a place called Siloam fell over and killed 18 people. That was a big deal in that community. The whole nation of Israel knew about it. And people wondered, are these people worse sinners? Did they suffer because they were sinners and God was punishing them? And I want you to notice, because this is important, Jesus answers no. They weren't punished because of their sin. But then he turns it around and makes it personal and says, "But you. Unless you repent, you too will perish." Well, this may be a more important message than you think it is, because it answers some questions that you've asked, not only about life in general, but your life in particular. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening. And people wondered, are these people worse sinners? Did they suffer because they were sinners and God was punishing them? And I want you to notice, because this is important, Jesus answers no. They weren't punished because of their sin. But then he turns it around and makes it personal and says, "But you. Unless you repent, you too will perish." I've studied that. I've thought about that for months one time. And it finally dawned on me what Jesus would say to 9/11 and tragedies in our culture. And people would say, "Did those people in New York City die because they were worse sinners?" Jesus' answer would be the same. No. But he would also turn and say, "But unless you, Randy, unless you repent, you too will perish." Took these events out of the current events, out of the news, and said, he used it as an opportunity to get people to think about the word repentance. Here's my point. If Jesus felt the need to do that with those two events in history, why wouldn't I feel that today in 2017 when there's a tragedy? I need to think about repentance. Why? Because Jesus did. He mentioned it in connection. I find that interesting. I want to talk about the word repentance for a minute. I've talked about this before. Repentance isn't just feeling guilty. It's not just feeling sorry. Repentance doesn't mean, you know, you're sorry you got caught. You know, repentance isn't feeling just some remorse and guilt. It's not a guilt trip. Repentance literally means to turn 180 degrees. You go from one direction, the opposite direction. You turn away from something and you turn toward the Lord. And you know you are repenting when you find out that you are leaving something in your past and going in a new direction toward the Lord. I know I shared this story when I was here last year. I told you about Richard, who's now in the ministry in Tennessee, but who told a powerful story about being a drug dealer in New York years earlier when he was a younger man. It's interesting how you change in your level of maturity from a 20-year-old to a 40 or 50-year-old. He said when he was in his 20s, a drug dealer, he said he couldn't care less about his mother, his two sisters. He said they could have been killed because of his drug dealings. He said they could have been kidnapped. They could have been held hostage. They could have been tortured. He said there was a whole list of things that happened to other people's relatives because of their involvement in drug dealing. But you know what? Something happened to Richard, and some of you will remember the story that I told. A drug deal went south, and I'm going to spare you the details because they're awful. But he was stabbed 5 times in a drug deal that went south. 5 times. They were major wounds. And here's what he says, and I'm cleaning this up. He said, all I could do was take my arms like this and hold my wounds. Use his forearm to cover one or two wounds in his hand and the other forearm. And he said it was an unbelievable sight. And he tells about that. And then he says, and here's the unbelievable part of the story. He said, do you know what word was going through my mind over and over? Was it 911? Somebody get a medic? I need a doctor? What was he saying? He said, all I could think of, repentance. He said the word just went over his mind over and over. Repent, repent. I want to suggest the Lord was dealing with it. You don't repent unless you're convicted by the Lord. That's my feeling.
And I think conviction is the first step of repentance. It's when a man or woman is convicted in their spirit about their sin that something happens. It's called repentance. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
You don't repent unless you're convicted by the Lord. That's my feeling. So the Lord was working in his heart. The Lord was working in his mind. And because of that, that was the first word he said that came to his mind as he was waiting for the life squad to come and get him. He said he didn't know if he was going to live 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. He thought he was dying. Thought this is it. It's all over. And now he's in the ministry preaching the gospel in the state of Tennessee. Two things I want to point out about repentance. Repentance is both an event and a process. It's an event, and I think there is a day when a man or woman or young person is so convicted by the Lord of the sin in their life that they actually have a day of reckoning, a day of understanding, a day of clarity, whatever you want to call it. And repentance is an event, but it's also a process, meaning it's lived out in everyday life. A repentant man lives it out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so forth. A repentant woman lives it out every day of the week and then continues the next week and the next month and the next year. Repentance is both an event and a process. Now let's talk about the parable of the fig tree. I find this interesting. I didn't understand this for years, but there's some great lessons here. Verse 6, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the dresser, or the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. What I found out interesting about it, notice the mention of 3 years. Some people think it's a reference to the ministry of Jesus was how long? 3 years. Could have been a reference to Israel not responding to the ministry. I think that's possible. But 3 years is a generous time for this tree to start producing fruit. Now, here's what's interesting. The implication is, if the fruit of repentance is not in your life, there is a time when the party's over. There's a time for a man named Richard. This is it. There's a time for you to make a decision. And here's my point. Are you willing to risk your eternity? Because you say, I'll put that off, that moment, off for another 5 years, another 10 years. We have a limited time frame. Repentance is utterly important. Repent or perish. And let me ask you this. I meant to ask you it earlier. When Jesus says, repent or you will perish, does that mean it's important? I think it's absolutely necessary to say, if you don't repent, you will perish spiritually. Why would I be so arrogant as to say, I don't need to do that. I don't think it's important. What do I have to repent of? Nothing. How arrogant. How arrogant that would be to, in the face of God, to say that. And I love what the man said. He said he pleads for mercy in verse 8. Leave it alone for one more year. God is the God of the second chance, and the third chance, and the fourth chance, and the fifth chance. You know how I know that? Because you know that personally, and so do I. You know that personally, and so do I. Every man, every woman, every young person in this room knows it. Repentance is important, vitally important, and we have a limited window. If you remember that till tomorrow, I will have accomplished my purpose today with this message. Well, tomorrow, a powerful story to conclude the message. I don't want you to miss it on crosshope.org. I want to share a powerful story with you told by somebody I know, and Annie knows. There was a man in the church that we served in Columbus for 18 years, one of the elders when I first began the ministry back in 1976. He was an elder in the church. He was the first casualty from Franklin County, Ohio, Columbus, listed in the Columbus Dispatch newspaper when the report was given about D-Day, Normandy, June 6, 1944. So just remember, the Columbus Dispatch comes out, and they list the casualties from Franklin County, Ohio. And the first name that's given is Marion Gray from Groveport, Ohio, just on the southeast side of Columbus. And so he was a medic, and he was landed on the beach at Normandy with his medical gear to treat wounded soldiers, and the shrapnel doesn't discern who's who, and he was hit by shrapnel, had to be taken to a ship. Back in the water, a hospital ship where he had surgery and recovered. Now, come with me. That's 1944. 65 years later, he's at the 65th anniversary, 2009, of Normandy. He's there at the services that are there and observances that are there. And this was so touching to me that Marion shared this with me. They were there at the end of the day. On June 6, 2009. And it was the end of the day where two of the attendants in the cemetery at Normandy were taking down the flag. And they saw Marion Gray in his uniform. He still could wear a uniform 65 years later. There's not many men or women who could wear something they had from 65 years earlier, but he did, and it fit him. I couldn't believe it when I saw the picture. And he said, you don't know how emotional it was to help to retire the flag 65 years later and to salute the flag and to hear taps being played as they retired the flag at night at 5 o'clock in the evening. And here's what he said that was so touching to me. He said, when I was lying on that beach, June 6, 1944, bleeding, not knowing if I'm going to make it or not, I had no idea that 65 years later, 65 years later, I would be back in the same place in a cemetery with thousands of graves and crosses there, helping to retire the flag after a memorial service. He said, can you imagine how mind-boggling that was for me to go from one extreme to the other 65 years later, may I suggest to you that's nothing compared to what can happen in a man's life who has no idea what repentance will do in his life. And a woman who has no idea what repentance can mean to her future, what a young person, a teenager, has no idea what repenting, going before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not just saying I'm sorry, I'm repenting. I'm turning 180 degrees away from my past and toward you. And the reason I know it's so important is because Jesus twice in Luke 13 says, unless you repent, you too will perish. Twice. How many times does he have to say it before you and I believe it? 5 times? 10 times? No, he only has to say it once, but he said it twice, and I take note of that. God is the God of the second chance and the third chance, as I said earlier. He's the God who gives you another chance. You know what it's called? Today. You know what it's called? Tomorrow. You know what it's called? The day after tomorrow. Every day is a chance to be in a right relationship with the God who made you through His Son.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.